Hello and welcome to our service this morning. Happy Mother's Day to all our mums and the mother figures in our lives. I am in awe of how God draws his people to serve in various ministries, and especially when they are witness to some of the world's more difficult situations and are made acutely aware of the traumas that some human beings have to endure. I'm also grateful that God equips them through his Spirit and with many prayers to serve in these ways. Today we are fortunate to have visiting us Reverend Susan Gorham and her husband Nigel, who is the senior, and she's the senior chaplain to the specialist units in the New South Wales Police Force. As we continue our mission focus this month, I trust that you will be reminded of the prayers we can offer to support the work Suzanne does for these specialist units. My hope is that today you'll be uplifted through our songs, praise and prayers, and feel renewed by the reminder of God's grace to us, his promises and his example of how to live as shown by his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to open with a song, but unfortunately you'll have to remain seated and silent. But please enjoy as we listen to our singers remind us of the qualities, character and power of our holy God in our first song, Only a Holy God.
Oh yeah, it'd be helpful, wouldn't it? It's great to have you with us, Susan, as we focus on our mission focus for May. And it's wonderful. We look forward to hearing what you have to say to us.
This song reminds us that we have a very holy God, a God who is awesome and powerful and who, in his great love for us, gave his Son Jesus to us. And so please listen in as we are reminded of our holy God.
rescue me from my failing. Who else would offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him father? Only a holy God, only a holy God. Come and behold him, the one and the only. Cry out, sing holy, forever a holy God. Come and worship the
that one. Okay, we're going to open this morning with a bit of prayer. Join with me. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for all your gifts so freely given to us, for life and health and safety, for power to work, leisure to rest, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope in sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to invite Max up to share our readings with us this morning. They'll be on the screen, but if you have your apps there and you're interested in following along, please turn to Proverbs 16.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here. So the first reading today is from Proverbs 16, 1 to 8. The humans belong to the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighted by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this. They will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. When the Lord takes pleasure in anyone's way, he causes their enemies to make peace with them. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. And the second reading is from Luke 5, 27 to 32. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector of the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd
of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." This is the word of the Lord.
Susan, it's lovely to have you with us today.
Thank you.
And your husband, Nigel. It's great to have you with us here today. I'm going to pray for you and look forward to hearing what you have to say to us today. Friends, this is part of our mission month for focusing on the work of Anglicare and its work amongst Anglicans caring in our society and this month as well. And so I'm going to pray. Loving and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing Susan and Nigel amongst us today. We trust that they feel welcomed and that their fellowship with us is one of rewarding time and encouragement for them. Lord, we thank you for the work of chaplains in the police force. And we pray now, Father, we look forward to hearing you speak to us through your word. And in the context of that, Father God, of the work that is for a chaplain, may we understand, Heavenly Father, their work, be supportive of them, prayerful, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, good morning. Thank you for having me this morning. It's exciting to be able to partner with you in the ministry. I'm going to begin by giving you a little bit of an outline of the work that I do as a police chaplain with New South Wales Police. And then we're going to look at the text from Luke and see how we can each apply that to our lives and our mission. New South Wales Police Chaplaincy has actually just organically grown since the 1980s. It began with Father Jim Boland, a Catholic priest, who got called to a traumatic scene to look after some officers. And then they kept calling him back and he got more and more involved until he began to work full-time. And that was in the late 1980s. Now we have five full-time paid chaplains who work across the state, and we have about 60 honorary chaplains who are ministers, priests or pastors from a variety of different denominations who all commit some of their time, a few hours a week, to their local police station. And their church releases them for those few hours as an extension of their community ministry. My role, as it currently stands, is as the chaplain for the specialist commands. So I get to do all the fun stuff. As you can see, the dog squad puppies, I get to pat those. I also look after Polair, Highway Patrol, the mounted unit, so I get to stroke the horses as well. I do actually talk to the people who ride them, but and then also corporate services, which is the whole business branch of the police force, including their communications and media. So it's quite a broad role with a lot of different officers who encounter a lot of different trauma in their work. I can tell you that I would never have imagined I'd be standing in a police uniform. So it's interesting where God takes us on the journey when we let him. Our chaplains are actually, across the police force, they're commissioned officers. So you can see all the different ranks there. That doesn't matter if you can't read the words, but the cross on the top right-hand side, that's where the chaplains sit. So we're right in the middle of all officers, from probationary constable up to commissioner. And rank comes with responsibility and high expectation. It's actually quite a privilege because I can walk into the commissioner's office and speak to him, or I can go to the Goulburn Police Academy and walk in and talk to the students there. Our ministry spans across every age group and every rank in the police force. It's a really challenging ministry because it is so varied. It's both proactive and reactive. It's a combination of going out and doing that intentional loitering with police, and then also reacting, responding to critical events and incidents that we may be called in to attend. We go to traumatic events such as terrible car accidents. We go to emergency situations such as to the bushfires and floods to support officers there. We go to scenes of disaster. We go to crime scenes, all with the intent purpose of supporting police officers in the work that they do and the civilian staff that are employed by New South Wales Police as well. One example that I can share with you is, you may recall, just over 12 months ago when there was those four children who were run over at Oatlands. And so as chaplains, we were called to that scene and looking after the officers who were trying to do their work with a bunch of very distressed family members as well. At the end of the evening, I then went with my colleague back to one of the police stations for debriefing with the officers. And then there's the follow-up and the care of them over coming days, weeks and months. And it's actually, for some of them, it's been a whole year where they're still grappling with the terrible nature of that situation. And sometimes police officers, despite their best efforts, are unable to stop people from harming themselves. And that might even be directly in front of them. And so often a chaplain is called in after a suicide or self-harm event that's particularly graphic. So you can imagine, in a broken world with broken people, there is a lot of trauma that needs to be managed. And we as chaplains journey with officers and staff through that. And we also provide pastoral counselling and bereavement counselling regarding both work and home life. We don't pretend to be mental health experts. The police force has a large number of support avenues for their staff, and so sometimes it's just us walking with them to those services, or sometimes it's us making the phone call on their behalf to the psychologist who will then contact them. And as chaplains, we listen. We do a lot of listening. We listen to people's stories. We listen to them recount traumatic events, and we listen to them talk about their families. They have a really hard job, and they still go home at the end of the day and somehow leave all that's happened at work behind, and sometimes they're more successful at doing that than other times. So having a non-judgmental person who can just listen to them as they download and debrief is very helpful for them in terms of letting off steam. I often use the term bucket when I talk about what officers deal with. So they have this, their life is the bucket, and it's gradually filling up with all these different things that they're attending and the work that they're doing. And if there's no release valve at the bottom, like, you know, in cardboard box wine, how they've got that little valve, if there's no release at the bottom, it just keeps filling up and then it overflows, and that's when the wheels fall off. So part of what we do is be that valve that lets down that high level of stress and trauma and sadness so that they can keep going on. And then we support them through that. And of course, we do police weddings and baptisms and funerals as well. The one officer said to me, oh, you do, what is it? Hatch, match and dispatch. And that's a great privilege to be with people in those times too. For me, police chaplaincy has been an entirely different type of ministry to parish ministry, where I come from. We rightly focus in parishes on bringing people in and drawing people in to the church and God's family, whereas chaplaincy is a bit different. We call it a ministry of presence because it's about going out. You're going out in and amongst people. You're walking alongside them where they're at, whether that's the highs or the lows or whatever in between. It's all about being there, present with people. And I guess in this respect, I view chaplaincy as a type of shadow of Jesus's ministry. The gospel bears testimony time and time again to the fact that Jesus was in the village, in the towns, around people, walking next to them physically, walking alongside them. He ate with them, he drank with them, he spoke truth into their lives. He comforted them. He carried them. He rebuked them. He met with the least likely of converts and showed them mercy and loving them and brought them into the family of God. So for me, that's like hashtag chaplaincy goals. And this short passage from Luke, you might pull it out in front of you if you haven't got it there already, is a great inspiration to me personally in terms of chaplaincy. And that's why I want to share it with you today. Although the scene appears to be about Levi, the tax collector, it's actually about Jesus and the powerful and extraordinary change that Jesus brought to this man's life and can bring to ours and that we can help bring to others. So have a look at the passage there, verses 27 and 28. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Now, you likely know about the reputation of tax collectors in first century Palestine by virtue of the fact that they used to cheat people out of money while collecting taxes, and they were disliked and often social outcasts. But there's more to their story. They were seen as collaborators with the Roman Empire. The occupying Romans wanted people to pay taxes. The tax collectors collected taxes and then collect a healthy amount more on top of that, which they kept as their own. Effectively, they were government-sanctioned extortionists. Remember, the Jews at that time were looking for the day when God would come and defeat the Romans and re-establish his kingdom. So it wasn't just the Jews versus the Romans, it was God versus the Romans. And the tax collectors, well, they had opted for the Romans. They were seen as traitors to the nation and traitors to God. So Levi, sitting there in his tax booth, was quite an unlikely convert and certainly not a person that a Jewish rabbi would associate with. But then along comes Jesus. And we don't know if Levi had encountered him at another time. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But Jesus walks up to him and simply says, "Follow me." And it's this simple call that absolutely changed Levi and signified his change in heart. Look at what Levi didn't do. He didn't say, "Why? What for?" He didn't say, "Where are we going?" He didn't say, "For how long?" The Bible says he got up, he left everything, and he followed Jesus. Now, for the grammar nerds amongst us, this language is written in imperfect tense, which means something is going on and on and on. So literally, it means, and he was following Jesus. Not just a moment, but ongoing, on and on. And to demonstrate the power of this, there is actually a significant amount of evidence that shows that Levi is later the person called Matthew, one of Jesus' 12, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew. What a significant change in heart. And I love Levi's response. He knows what change Jesus has instantly brought him. And so he is forgiven. He is turning away from his old life. And he throws a massive party in Jesus' honour. Look at verse 29. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Now, when we think about this idea, this word repentance, the transformation of mind, changing of mind and heart, I think we tend to associate it with something very somber, even negative. But this account reminds us that repentance is actually closely linked with joy and celebration. For Levi, it's the reason to celebrate. The knowledge his sins are forgiven. The difference knowing Jesus makes to him. and he wants to share it with his friends. Now, his friends, by virtue of the fact that he's a tax collector, are not going to be good religious people. These are other people who are corrupt and from equally shady backgrounds. But they're the people he's invited in to his house to meet with Jesus. Look at verse 30. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Now the Pharisees and teachers of the law, they see this party happening. And the problem's not the party itself. We're told time and time throughout the Bible about heaven being like a feast. The problem was the guest list. The problem was Jesus and his disciples eating with these people, these undesirables. We can't underestimate the importance of table fellowship in these times. Meal times were more than just coming and feeding yourself and having nourishment. Being welcomed at a table for the purpose of eating food with someone else was ceremonially seen as being an act of intimacy, an act of friendship, a symbol of unity. And consequently, the Pharisees look on this meal with disapproval, and they express this disapproval to the disciples and, by implication, Jesus. Now, it's true to say that when we think about Pharisees, we tend to kind of boo hiss at them for saying negative things to and about Jesus. But in reality, they were mostly good men, upright citizens who kept the law, who were obsessed by keeping the law, and they did not want society to fall into godlessness. This is why their disapproval exists here. It looks like to them that Jesus and his disciples, by eating with these people, are condoning immoral and unethical behaviour. And then when the Pharisees question the disciples about this, Jesus responds with a medical illustration. It's actually, think of it as a purpose statement. Verse 31 and 32. Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So when you're physically sick, you go to the doctor, right? If you're not sick, you don't go to the doctor. This is about people recognising their spiritual need. The reason why Jesus mixes with sinners is simple. And here he gives this simple and powerful explanation of it. There is the healthy man, there is the sick man, and there is the doctor. Meaning, there is the righteous, the sinful, and as Jesus says, me. Jesus mixes with sinners because they have a need and he's the one with the cure. And the more painfully they feel their need, the more unreservedly they put themselves into his hands. Their basic disease is sin, which leads to death. Jesus' message of salvation is the remedy. He deals with these matters of the heart. And it's important to note too that Jesus was not endorsing the views the Pharisees had of themselves. His point was that he hasn't come into the world to make religious people more religious. He hasn't come into the world to make nice people nicer. He has come to bring radical changes to people's hearts and to their eternity. He has come to turn sinners to repentance. He wasn't saying the Pharisees aren't sinners. We know that there is no one righteous, not even one. But think of it this way. The tax collectors' sins, their spiritual sickness, was in bold print. Everyone knew what they were, who they were, and the nature of their sin. Their reputation preceded them. But the Pharisees' sin is like the fine print down the bottom. The bold print at the top's noticeable, but the fine print is easily overlooked. The Pharisees knew about their sin. They just pretended it wasn't there. And so with Jesus' words, the Pharisees are put in their self-righteous place. Perhaps maybe we need to be put in our place as well. What is your fine print? That fine print that's easy to overlook. But I think there's some other practical implications from this story of Levi as well. On a personal level for us and an evangelistic level. On a personal level, Levi received salvation with joy and celebration. Is that how you view your repentance and your salvation? Where is your heart sitting? If you've been a friend of Jesus for a long time, have you kind of left that joy and celebration behind? Perhaps you need to stoke the fire a little bit and remember with joy and celebration what Jesus does for you. And then we think about living and sharing the gospel. Levi celebrated this radical change in his life with his friends. He sought for them to meet Jesus too. Are we doing the same? Because the real risk for us, especially in Sydney, Anglican Sydney, is the Christian bubble. We socialise with our Christian friends. We meet up for midweek Bible study and playgroup. We go to conferences. We go to Christian lectures. We attend prayer breakfasts. And of course, there is nothing inherently wrong with those things. They're good. They help boost our spiritual well-being and our fellowship with each other. And they keep us accountable. But it is so easy to be consumed by hanging out with God's people that then suddenly we lose contact with people who believe differently to us. We don't have friends around us who haven't met Jesus. We don't have the means to forge relationships with people that we can invite into our house where they too can encounter Jesus. I talk about chaplaincy as being that ministry of presence. But as God's people, you are the ministry of presence to all you encounter. Everyone needs a cure for their spiritual brokenness. And you are God's person in this place, in this suburb, in your workplace, in your retirement village. If I can steal the words from the book of Esther, God has placed you here for such a time as this, to be a vessel that by God's power and the work of the Spirit can introduce people to the person who loves them the most of all. Can I challenge you to think about what that might look like? Whatever your age, whatever your stage. And I think we should entrust each other to God in prayer for this task, because these are truly matters for our heart. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your unending and sacrificial love for us. Please revive in us the joy and peace that comes from repentance, that we might be moved to share with others the utter goodness of your salvation. Help us to follow you wholeheartedly and thankfully, and provide us with opportunities to live and share the gospel with all the people you place in our paths. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Food for thought, Mother's Day. We're going to come to a time of prayer, and we can contemplate on that just privately as well as we go through this part of our service. Although we are the people of God, Scripture reminds us that we still sin. We need to confess our failures, knowing that the Lord Jesus died for us and intercedes for us with the Father. Let us draw near to God, who freely forgives through his infinite goodness and mercy, and pray to him with sincerity and confidence. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. God is slow to anger and full of compassion. He forgives all who humbly repent and turn to his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom there is no condemnation. Amen. Join me with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer. In Psalm 72 we read, "Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvellous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen." God of all heaven and earth, we praise you today for your might and majesty, and we praise you for your marvellous deeds. We come before you today with great humility and thank you for all you have done for us, all the good things you have placed into our lives. You hold our lives in your hands and you know how we are made. You alone know everything about us. You know our futures, our weaknesses, and you know our hearts. Yet, good Lord, you still love us with an everlasting love. Thank you. Help us to walk in your ways all the days of our lives. When we are tempted to turn from you or grow proud in our hearts, please quickly correct us and bring us back close to you. Help us to tell others of your great redeeming love. Help us to tell of all your goodness and kindnesses. Come and fill our hearts with wonder and expectancy. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A prayer for Kanishka as he prepares to take the office of Archbishop of Sydney. Almighty God, giver of all that is good, by your Holy Spirit you have anointed various orders of ministers in your church. Bless your servant Kanishka, who you have called to the work and ministry of Archbishop of Sydney. So fill him with truth of your doctrine and clothe him with holiness of life, that he may faithfully minister in this office to the glory of your name and the benefit of your church. And we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Sorry about the emotion. We've been praying a long time. A prayer for police and police chaplains. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your providential care of our world and the peace and security that we enjoy in our land. We especially thank you for the police force of New South Wales. Despite the corruption of human heart and the prevalence of lawlessness and sin, we thank you that the police are these guardians of justice in our society. We pray for the members of our police force as they maintain law and order in our state. Give them the courage to expose unrighteousness wherever it is found, to pursue justice for the common good, to deal with all without fear or favour, and to act with wisdom and compassion in all their work. Protect them from danger in their duties, shield them from temptation, and enable them to be role models for all whom they serve.
We especially pray today for police chaplains, and we thank you for Susan, her ministry in the police force. We pray for them as they minister to the spiritual and emotional needs of the police force members. May they act with compassion, wisdom, and love as they support police officers in their line of duty. We offer our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who alone brings order to the human heart, peace to a troubled world, and the hope of eternal life for all who put their trust in him. Amen. Sovereign Lord, you are the hope and healer of all your people, and promise a world where there is no more sickness or crying or death. By your death and resurrection, you have set your people free from the penalty of sin and death. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Prosper the work of those who are rolling out and administering vaccines for the coronavirus across the world. Strengthen those who are treating the sick. Comfort those who are mourning the loss of loved ones or living in fear of COVID-19. We particularly bring before you today the peoples of India, Brazil, the United States, France, and Turkey. Give to all governing authorities wisdom in their management of this pandemic, and give to your people peace beyond understanding, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety through this pandemic, that they may find that peace which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And a prayer for your people in every land. We pray for Christians throughout the world who are persecuted and oppressed, for your people in China, Iraq and Iran, Somalia, Indonesia and Turkey. We pray that you will give them discernment and insight beyond their years to understand your will, to hear your voice and to know your ways. We ask that you would keep their footsteps firm on solid ground, helping them to be consistent and faithful despite great hardship. Give them endurance to run the race, shining your light through them. And we pray for protection over our lives and our families. Today we thank you especially for our mothers and grandmothers and for those who have nurtured and cared for us through our years. We thank you for creating each mum with a unique combination of gifts and talents. We thank you for their sacrifice of self and their gift of time. We thank you for their flexibility, their tirelessness, perseverance, and their devotion. We pray today for those who grieve. We ask for your comfort to surround those people who are missing their mums. Bless every mother and every grandmother with your spiritual blessings. Confirm in her heart the work of her hands, and the love that she has so freely given to those children under your care. May your mums know their worth so that she has no reason to doubt whether she is loved, valued, and cherished in the eyes of her Heavenly Father. And we ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you read the last one? Sorry.
Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge our need for you. You remind us in your word that you are a faithful. You are faithful to carry out our burdens, and that you will carry our burdens, and that you will renew our strength. And you promise to give us rest as we come to you. We ask you, that you would direct our hearts and minds towards you and fill us all with your spirit, bringing renewal, peace and joy. Thank you for your daily powerful presence in our lives, so that we can be assured no matter what we're facing. Help us all to make a difference in this world for your glory, so that your purposes would stand, your plans succeed, and may we reflect your peace and hope to a world that has so desperate needs for your presence and your healing. Holy God, help us to remain faithful to you in everything that we do. Lord, we pray that everything that we've been doing in this place may glorify your name. May we be faithful in our homes, workplaces and businesses by doing what we've been taught and living our lives according to your word. We thank you, Father, that you reign supreme and that we are more than conquerors through the gift of Christ. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. And let us together pray that we may practice the faith we profess. Do you want to turn the slide for us, Diane? Thanks. Together, ever living God, help us to celebrate joyfully the resurrection of the Lord and to express in our lives the love we celebrate. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, I think we're going to sing. This is a song that reminds us of the goodness of God. His presence is with us always, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He welcomes the sinner and reconciles them. He brings us to himself. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. It's a wonderful one. Take heart.
Okay, you should have all received a bulletin on your way in. I don't know how many of you have had a chance to look through, but I think there are about 8 or 9 announcements today. I won't read them all. First one I'll start with is the one I forgot last time. After the service, if you're needing some personal prayer, there's something on your mind or your heart that you need to offload, and you'd like the comfort of shared prayer. Dick and Barbara will be at the front of the church and would love to pray with you. Sunday, May 16th. Oh, is that 1 week away, 2 weeks away? We have our church family picnic. Church family meaning the people who come to this church. So part of our church family. Bring a picnic lunch, and I'm praying for good weather and hoping that you'll enjoy that with us on that day. On the 16th of May, we're looking at how the gospel changes communities. Is that yours?
Philip Rosemary's father, my father-in-law, coming and speak the next 2 weeks on how the gospel changes people's lives. Paul said it's the gospel is the means by which he's changed our lives, and he changes community lives and he changes personal lives. So Dad's going to come and speak on the little book of Philemon, and next week's one's on how the gospel changes communities, and the next one will be on the following Sunday is how gospel changes people's lives, our lives, and others as well. Yep.
Look forward to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good. I got him before Karen. That'd be good. Because Karen's, I think it might be what you can tell about Karen's things. But men, on the 29th of May, please join me and others for breakfast here from 8:15 through to 10 a.m. This is one where we can bring a friend along from church and from outside as well to come along. And it's a time of good food, fellowship and faith. It's a cost of $5 and it goes from 8:15 to 10 a.m.
And, of course, there are a couple of women's events. There's a women's morning tea on Saturday, May 22nd. There's information on the back table. And a women's conference on June 19th. So that's advance notice for that one. So if you need to know more, please catch up with Karen before you leave today. Bush Church Aid spoke to us last week. And a reminder, if you're interested in collecting for Bush Church Aid, or donating, we do have the money boxes that you can take home and just drop your loose change in over the month or two or three, and then that will be brought back and emptied out and you'll get a replacement. So if you're interested, please help yourself to a BCA box. And the rest I'll leave to you to read. Okay, now we're going to get towards the end of our service with a statement of our faith. And we've been challenged this morning through Suzanne to actually consider how we can share the joy of what we've learnt from God in our lives with the people around us. So it is a challenge, but please be reminded and assured that God is with us in every step we take, and he will give us the words to say if we rely on him. So please take that to heart, rely on him for the words, and go out there with bravery and confidence, because we're not doing it alone. Okay, now you might like to stand for this one. Do you believe in God the Father? We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in God the Son? We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Father, take us, sorry, I'll do that with you. Father, take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. No morning tea today, but if you want to stay and chat for a few minutes, just stay where you are and turn around and share in some conversation. But enjoy your week.